Good morning. This is the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790, the number you call. You can reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. That's 266-IVOB. John Stout is our technical operator producer. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 o'clock this afternoon with our usual breaks for the regional roundup, tracking the latest network news from Flow, and of course our News Major, the lunchtime edition of the latest. I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to say this slowly, and I'll try to be as calm as I possibly can. It is heartbreaking to think that in the year 2020, when in the midst of a pandemic we are trying to reorganize, refocus, re-energize the engine of our growth, that we are faced with the type of negative information that occurs because we still can't determine what is hospitality. It is unfortunate that we sit here on this program and listen to complaints daily from people who express less than satisfaction with the response they get from persons with whom they interact daily doing business at all levels, whether it is a telephone call, person-to-person interaction across a store, or government agencies. I don't know what it would take for us to realize that we are all humans. Doesn't matter whether we're tall, short, got curly hair or fake hair, whether we bleach or whether we sunburnt. It doesn't matter whether we are on crutches, in a wheelchair, or standing upright. We are human. And when we look at a human being, whether we don't like the way they're dressed, whether we don't like their sexual orientation, whether we don't like whatever it is we don't like about them, the way they talk, their big mouth, whatever, what we need to see is the human. We cannot afford negative reports in the international media. We cannot afford our citizens to feel that they're not being treated as though they matter. If we treat our citizens as though they matter, then we won't have to worry about how we treat our visitors. I have spent 12 years in the hospitality industry. I spent 12 years in customer relations with the Royal Bank of Trinidad and Tobago Limited and the Royal Bank of Canada in Barbados. I have spent 26 years sitting at this microphone interacting with people. I have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I've had to deal with being called the ugly. But all I've seen through all those years and all I've listened to are people. People with concerns, people with attitudes, people with grudges, but I still see people. And I continue to have faith in people. My suggestion is this. We need to pay more attention to human resources and the management of our human resources, and the selection of our human capital. Train them. You spend a lot of money on screening them. I know, because I've tried to get a job at that establishment as a guest services manager. And I had all kinds of psychological evaluations and cut my beard to this. I am saddened. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
A little troubled, but I'm okay.
Now, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
When you is on the other side, and when I say the other side, I mean as the producer.
Mm-hmm.
I normally let Miss. But maybe before going further, is David okay?
The last time I checked, which was this morning when he spoke to me, yeah.
Well, he didn't say that he was going off or anything. Anything.
David, David does not make those statements.
Oh, but I missed him.
You might have him back sooner than you think.
Oh, but you may have him back. You know, y'all will be closing off. For this year, that's right, to be a very tight area. Consumer shopping is concerned.
That's no true.
So y'all may get a lot of advertisements in by next week.
I hope so. We hope so. All of us in here who work here hope so. So thank you for sharing that with us. We look forward to the rainfall that you suggest.
But no, but it will be bad for us because we, as the people who call, will be sad and say that we cannot get through because it will be off the air due to our commitments to this company, next company.
If you say so.
It's sad, though, Mr. Johnson, that you had to open your remarks this morning on that matter. And I will go a little bit further. Because I was going to play a call when David was on to ask it, if you really feel Black Lives Matter about you, they not go that road.
I never go that road, sir.
Because what you open with is what is true. Human beings. And we as human beings, from the time we get a car, we feel we are more than anybody else. And you might not realize it. 80% of the people in this country feel that they are a law unto their own selves because of what they have achieved or because of what they have got. You agree or you disagree?
I think it's
about the percentage part.
I think it's unfortunate if it's that, if the percentage is that high. I think that there are a lot of people who attach status to physical possessions and monetary worth.
Good. No.
That's how I would put it.
Dennis, I get told this honestly. We have met once or twice. But I live in the gutter.
You live where?
In the gutter.
Oh, okay. You must be on the sidewalk.
No, that is a little bit above my level. I like the gutter.
On the sidewalk?
You see, when you live in the gutter, and I don't mean being worthless or anything.
No. I understand clearly what you mean, sir.
Right. But for those who don't understand, when people start to climb, they forget where they come from. So I remain in the gutter.
Sir, I want to tell you that I smile at your use of the word gutter, because I can tell you that I usually tell anybody who's associated with me, if you can't sit with me in the gutter, you can't sit with me at the table. I'm sorry. It's just the way
right.
I am. Understand your comment.
Now, let me give you a scenario that I was going to put to David. On Saturday, I had an unfortunate incident. Now, here is where I live. Is a straight road. We would call the main road. It's not the main road, but I want to understand what I'm talking about. And you have a road that coming from a different angle, so we would call it a T-junction.
Right.
You are familiar with me so far?
I'm following you.
When a friend of mine came and visit me, I told him, when you leaving, blow your horn. A young fella.
Mm.
He refused. But he was going to turn right. And he had to squeeze through San Lee's. Now, if somebody was coming in that direction, which the boy would be rightfully on their side, it would be an accident.
Correct.
I walked down the road to the gentleman in the vehicle and explained to him this white line means stop.
Correct.
But nobody
ever stops
there. The gentleman looked at me, rolled at the black window, and roll at his driver's side window and left me there. So I figured I was above of wind. Unfortunately, I went home, collected a tin of spray paint, sprayed at the back of the wheel and the front, and went at the front and did the same thing. So when the young lady got into the car, she made it reverse it by me. That's why I asked if we understand what human beings are. She come to me and asked me in the vehicle, why you spray the road? I said, good morning. She ain't answer yet. So she continued, and then I told her something. And then she tell me, wait, he honestly don't know who you are. I said, stop. I didn't care as if he's prime minister, because people got to say, you know who I am, you know who I know, you know who he is.
Yeah. I
don't like that, Dennis.
But I've heard it.
I hate it. And that drives me a absolute pain. I'm disgusted when people tell me that foolishness. I told her some colorful words. I said, don't speak to me, drive on. I called the police. The police told me she marked the road, but that was my evidence. The police also warned them not to park there. Called the park there for 2 or 3 hours in the car talking. But that is one. Me and you still have a few more months. I think it's April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. That is 7 more months to go where we will discuss tourism. But what I want to ask you this morning, at the pace that things is going right now, and the soon find of something that could eliminate the coronavirus, how long you feel it would take the world to get back on its feet? Where traveling is concerned.
2 years.
Or you want to leave that for 7 years?
2 years.
For the next? Huh?
2 years.
But remember I told you that from the beginning in April, in March, late March, when we discussed, when I told you we have a 7-month date.
2 years.
No.
I think about 2 years.
Well, I told you that. Now, my concern is agriculture. Because I've seen everybody know plant health or something. Do you feel that at least a quarter, half, or three quarters of the money from tourism should go to agriculture, or we should continue spending money subsidizing tourism? That is my question to you.
Sir, you can't. It isn't an either or. It has never been an either or. Barbados will always find itself requiring foreign exchange. And therefore, it needs to explore all the avenues that it can either A, earn foreign exchange, B, cut down the amount of money that goes out to pay for goods and services we consume. And therefore, what we have to try to do is to balance the two. If tourism is going to bring in foreign exchange, then we push tourism to bring in foreign exchange, while at the same time pushing agriculture to reduce the size of our import bill. So if we could grow cucumbers rather than bringing them in, we do so. If we could grow tomatoes rather than bringing them in, we do so. If we could grow carrots instead of bringing them in, we do so. If there are some things we can't grow or produce in sufficient numbers to feed ourselves, then we bring it in. That needs to be how we work it. For years, and this is, if I've been in this business for 26 years, add another 4 to it. So let's say about 30 years or more ago, right?
Uh-huh.
Ina Harvey was talking about the tourism industry twinning with the agricultural sector to provide food, goods and services, food, fresh lettuce, fresh cucumbers, fresh this, fresh milk for the hospitality industry. That has been over 30 years ago. If it has not yet been achieved, then we waste in time. And if we produce and we have a glut of anything and the response is to dump it rather than find a way to utilize it, we still waste in time. Let me give you this example of how we do things and please one sector, but displease another. When I saw in the newspaper that the people of Dover got the courts to say, don't work on Sundays and don't work on bank holidays on the expansion of sandals, you know the first thing I said? There goes the overtime and there goes the special time pay for the workers. Today, they're on the newspaper complaining that their salary is going to be cut because they can't work on Sundays and they can't work on bank holidays. So you get the peace and quiet you want, but you get a drop in the wage bill and the project is going to take longer to complete. So you satisfy one side and the other side is dissatisfied. So those are the things that we measure when we try to make a determination of what to do.
But Dennis, as you add 4 years to that 26, you know what pains me? That all kinds of studies, and I want to leave this with you and I will wrap up on this, mm-hmm. and I will put down after I wrap up, you can finish so that someone else could get it.
Mm-hmm.
What pains me is that after 30 years, as you said, and it will have to be longer. Studies and studies have been done on crops, telling you which time of the year you can plant this
Correct.
And that.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody doing the own thing, and
Correct.
That is why we are getting the kind of glut we're getting.
I agree with you, and I've said before, I start selling newspaper on this side of the street, so you start selling newspaper on the other side of the street. That's how we do it. So
but
we end up with...
A pleasant, a blessed, and a wonderful day. You can continue on what I say.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. 4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you this morning?
I am all right, thank you.
And the staff at Starcom. Listen, I am here this morning to reply to a gentleman that was on. That he had spoken yesterday pertaining to pain, like you should leave your pension for your grandchildren. But I would like to know if those grandchildren work for that money. And then another thing with the hospital and the backup with those patients and the patients that were discharged that is in the accident emergency in the cubicles. The problem is that if, I'm not blaming one government, both governments, if they had officers going around to see if those old people are alive and well taken care of, they would know who receiving the pension check and ignoring those old people because they're not feeding them properly and they buying the fancy hair and all kind of thing and not dealing with those old people accordingly. The government shall they should send people out there, officers, and you will know who receiving the pension because I know that when they go to the hospital with those old people, they are not next to kin, not all of them. They put a fictitious name and receive the people pension and off they go. The young people taking the checks are not taking care of the people at all. And in the hospital, they're giving these foolish names, leaving the people in problems, and the authorities should look into that and take heed. And I know that the days are becoming darker. It is sad. Young, able body people, they are the first to be out there looking for welfare checks, calling the NIS, confusing the place, and the people that work hard and pay NIS, saying, hey, you get your check 2 weeks after the date and all kind of thing. Foolishness. I want the authorities to know to take this thing serious because number 10 is a word to the wise, and it's sickening. When I hear the man yesterday talking about getting the grandchildren pension, would they work for that? They got to be mad. That man got me so mad. It is, I don't like it at all. And got all the people now like hospital short of beds. Be true, those people.
Okay, man.
Mr. Johnson, it is so sad when you look around and hear from other people how some of their families are sort of them old people, you would not believe that those same old people raise those children, you know. And that's the kind of treatment that they're getting now in their late days, in the late years. It's sad. I would like the government to send out officers. If they want to send out an officer, let them get me then.
All right, ma'am. I've heard you make the plea, and the difficulty sending out officers, I suppose, is one, if you say people are giving fictitious names and taking people's pensions and the pension checks, the method of cashing pension checks is one of the things the NIS has attempted to try to do away with because of various complaints they've had. They're trying to get people to deposit it straight to allow them to deposit it straight to their account. But if the person is incapacitated for whatever reason, whether their eyesight is going, whether they're hospitalized and need to send out someone to act on their behalf, will still make it difficult for them to get funds if they need it. but it would make it more difficult for people to just withdraw their money unless they have joint accounts with them. The whole question of how we treat the elderly, and making sure they're not taken advantage of. We have a Ministry of Elder Affairs, and the focus, I am sure, will be on eliminating some of the things you talk about. Trustworthy people, powers of attorney, making sure that while you're still in relatively good health, but getting on in age, you know, you sit and discuss with family members that you trust, although some of them break your trust, how you deal with growing old, what you do with your pension, what you do with your savings. You know, getting old is not easy. And managing the aging process in an environment where there are unscrupulous people is not going to get any easier, ma'am. And it's not going to be only a government department that has to do it. It has to come back to what I started talking about, how we treat people and how we see each other. Life is full of disappointments. Children disappoint their parents. Parents disappoint their children. Sadly, that's the fact of life. Thanks for sharing with us, though, man. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, man. Good morning to you.
A little husky, but I'm all right.
Well, if you didn't live in, you wouldn't know that you're husky.
True.
But at least you agree with my name for once.
Yeah, we agree with a lot of things.
So the general public don't seem to care. So some people think that. I remember a time you got real annoyed with me on the radio, and a man telling you, man, Dennis, make you look an idiot. And I also remember you telling me you expected better from me. And I have no problem with that. Where you're wrong, you should be corrected. Why people feel that you should always support wrongdoing? It don't make any sense, because in the end, it's still going to get correct anyhow. I want to know whatever has become of those students who attended the Amapur school. Now that I have closed, if they have been drafted into other schools, and if so, if the, I don't know what word to use here, if where they have been drafted, if they're special teachers to teach those children. Because, as I said before, I find that people have a habit, and might be even be guilty of it too, of breaking off people because they're not up to their standard. And I feel that if you have people talking about slow learners, no one is slow. If you have a child that can learn at 40 miles an hour, they're just a thing. And then you have another child who can learn at 30 miles an hour. That child is going to appear to be slow. So why not get those children who are of one speed and together? Why not do it? I Sorol is a part of that school. You can want a more pleasant young man, well-spoken, everything. You just can't keep on writing off people, because when you write off people, you could be writing off a lot of knowledge.
So, two things. One, again, it comes down to the advice given and the advice taken by those involved in the education process. There is a school of thought that says, amalgamate everybody, don't discriminate, because when you put persons into one area, they get stigmatized, and that demotivates them. So, as you just pointed out, you create the Alma Paris School, you put persons there, and people say, oh, that's them Duncey children. That's them slow learners. You see them walking along in the uniform, and they're teased. It demotivates them. It makes them feel a certain way. So, the school of thought says, don't do that to them. incorporate them into the general school environment. But, as you pointed out, they need attention, so give them the attention they need. But again, you put them into the school environment, but you put them in a class called 4S, for special. And then people ask, what's special about for special? And you say, oh, that's for them slow learners. So the stigmatization returns. So the problem is how we see people. And until that changes, it can happen. Look, I always use Shivnarine Chanderpaul as an example. When Chanderpaul started to play cricket, everybody said that he left school, he done see, he could barely talk. When they tried to interview him, he barely stringing two words together. But the man scoring runs. Over the years, his ability to interact with commentators became a little bit more fluent. I don't know if he was given special treatment. I don't know if he learned from hanging around the fellas. I don't know. What I know was Shivnarine Chanderpaul at the end of his career did not sound like Shivnarine Chanderpaul at the beginning of his career. The problem we face, sir, is how to stop stigmatizing people. That's the problem. And, sir, it has been going on in this society and in other societies long before I come along. And sadly, I will leave the earth and it can still be there. I remember when they had people in Rockers Alley and they talk about drugs in Barbados. Oh, it's them fellas in Rockers Alley. So move them from Rockers Alley and drugs in Barbados done. So we move them and we put them in Temple Yard. Sir, you know what I'm talking about. When anything happened, oh, it's the Earlines.
Yes.
And then we go to the reverse now. Oh, it's them people in Heights and Terraces that bringing in the guns, but they're too big to touch them. So that's how we do it. We stigmatize, we find the area, we put it there, and the rest of us happy. Until it come by us. And then the cry is, but that don't happen out here. This is a good area. I lie? That's what's happened, sir.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, good.
So good. Next thing, this thing with the or the CSE, is it finally over? Or